the consistent theme throughout all of this, my friend, that I want you to take, is the mindset where I was at the time. All right? Even though I didn't like this type of jobs, my life-work balance was non-existent because my work determined my lifestyle. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. All right? It becomes a bad thing when you're conscious about it. It becomes a bad thing when you know you want to do something else, but you can't escape, or so you think that you can't escape your work or your boss or the current situation. This episode is brought to you by Forward Friday. Forward Friday is my weekly newsletter where I share mindset, business, and lifestyle tips. Every single Friday, you will get straight into your inbox a newsletter where I cover everything from personal growth, self-improvement, mindset, lifestyle, and of course, building an online business. Go to danielcarrizales.com/newsletter in order for you to sign up to Forward Friday. The link will be in the show notes of this episode. Sign up to Forward Friday today to not miss any newsletter. Again, go to danielcarrizales.com/newsletter to sign up to Forward Friday. All right, welcome to episode 88 of the Creative Entrepreneurs Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, my friend. Today, I'm doing this episode indoors. If you've been following the podcast, you know that I record most of my episodes outdoors, and I like to spice things up here at the Creative Entrepreneurs Podcast. I like to go outdoors. I live in a beautiful location. I like to flex this quite a lot, but the only reason why is because I just love the place where I live. This has been a dream for me and my family for the longest time. I speak about this online, all over the internet, pretty much over Instagram, here on the podcast. I share this because it was a dream at one point, and it was an impossible dream for the longest time. This is a beautiful location. If you're new to the podcast, I am based in Greece, and I live in Nafplio, and I'm very proud to be, a local in this small community. And the reason why is because we just love this place. Me and my family will come here for holidays every single summer. And we had this idea planted in our head at one point, like, wouldn't it be nice if we could live here? Okay, this is a tourist destination for both Greeks and foreigners. And hey, if you just Google this place, once you are able to do so, you're probably driving as you're listening to this podcast episode. You're probably commuting, and if you are commuting, either on the tube or on a bus or something, just go to Google and just Google Nafplio, Greece. Nafplio was the first capital of Greece, and I know what you're thinking. You might be thinking that this sounds already like a travel podcast, right? Like a travel destination and places to go. But I'm going to get to the point very quickly here. The reason why I'm talking about the place where I live is because this is something that is the topic, pretty much, of this podcast episode that I'm talking about today here, which is all about work-life balance. And my take on this, as someone who's been working from home for many, many years. In fact, I've been working from home for such a long time that I feel that, in a way, I am unemployable. I mean, I could go today and get a day job anywhere, really, because I have learned so much about myself since I've been working for myself for such a long time, that I realized that the old Daniel that used to rely on a 9-to-5 or rely on a boss or a work in order for me, a job, I should say, in order for me to pay the bills, was a different Daniel. And the lifestyle that I had before, even though I was very fortunate when I had my work, my 9-to-5, when I was an employee, I was very fortunate. I really enjoyed working for someone else because I didn't have any responsibilities outside of work, okay? And this is where I'm going to get to here. Like, how work has become this thing that, first, there is a negative energy attached to the word work or having a job, which I completely disagree. And I want to get to the bottom of this. and share my philosophy around work. And whether you have a 9-to-5 or you are unemployed as you're listening to this, or you work for yourself, then hopefully this philosophy and this mindset shift will help you see things in a different way. And I want to share my experience here with you. So hopefully this will inspire you to see your 9-to-5 and your side business that you want to build on the side, right? It's called side business for a reason, because it's not your main source of income yet. It could become your main source of income if that's what you want. But it's going to take a lot of work. And there's nothing wrong with that. Actually, it should take work. You should be able to work for your dreams and your goals. And you should be able to put effort into it. And I want to talk here and dissect a little bit of what's out there online when it comes down to the 4-hour work week, the famous book by Tim Ferriss. And again, I'm a big fan of Tim Ferriss. I've mentioned this many, many times here. But I think that a lot of people take this concept and this philosophy of the 4-hour work week out of context. They just believe that you're just not supposed to work, and you're missing the point if you have read the book. I highly recommend that you read the book or get the audiobook or whatever. So the 4-hour work week is a catchy title. It's a Hollywood title, if you will. And the cover of the book as well says it all. Okay, but if you know Tim Ferriss and his philosophy of things, you will know that the guy, you know, he loves what he does. And I don't think he calls his stuff work, whether he's writing a book or doing a podcast episode or doing whatever he's doing as Tim Ferriss. You know, it's just what Tim Ferriss does. So I don't think he says, I need to go and work. I need to earn some more money by doing yet another podcast episode. So I want to come from a different angle, and I want to share what I have learned as someone that works for himself, and how I keep myself not only motivated to do stuff that at times I don't want to do, even though these things were at one point a hobby, okay? And it still is part of my work. But I have made peace with this, because to me the word work or having a job, whether it's a 9-to-5 or working for myself, is something that is good. And I don't have any negative energy attached to that word anymore. So my question to you will be, when it comes down to work-life balance, whether you have a 9-to-5 right now or not, what is it like in your head, a normal day, in terms of what will a perfect day will be for you right now? Okay, you might be thinking right now in terms of the week, because for you, from Monday to Friday, you're working, but then the weekend has a completely different energy altogether. But what will a normal day, or not a normal day, because the perfect day will look like for you when it comes down to work-life balance? That's the first question. What will the perfect day will look like right now? With your current situation, though, okay, that's the limitation. So the question is that if you have a 9-to-5, and you have to go and work, okay? Maybe you don't have any emotional attachment to your job. You don't feel that it's your calling, it's your passion, it's what you're here to do. It's not your life's work. You're just earning a paycheck, okay? And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Actually, that's a good starting point. And if you have a 9-to-5 that you have no emotional connection to, this is a perfect place in order for you to do some internal work and see how you can grow where you're at right now. So don't try to project yourself into the future and think that by changing jobs is going to make a massive difference. It's not, because it's going to be the same you. Right. So I know this might be a little bit too much to unpack, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it right now. Because I've been there, my friend. I've been there. I've changed jobs from one place to another thinking that the job was the problem. But in reality, it was not the pay, it was not the job, it was certainly not my boss and my coworkers, it was me. Wherever I go, there I am. I'm still me. I'm bringing in my negative energy, my mindset, all of my excuses, all of my blaming, playing the victim card again and again, wherever I go. And I've done this across the board in different countries, different jobs. Okay, but I have jobs back in the day when I was in my early 20s, when I was traveling and tried to find my way into the world. Okay, I was looking for somewhere to live, right? Meaning that I grew up in Venezuela. Okay, just a quick background. So I was born in the UK, but I grew up in Venezuela. My family and my heritage is from Venezuela. So I grew up in Venezuela, but growing up, I traveled the world. Okay, because my mother was doing different things. My mom used to be a psychiatrist, and she did all of these PhDs and all of this, extra studies, I guess, if you can call that. And we moved. Okay, but my mom and my dad were living in the UK in London, and that's where they had me, and they got married in England. And I was born in London, but then very quickly we went back to Venezuela. From Venezuela, we went to Canada, and I grew up in Canada as well as a kid. And in the 80s, that's where I learned how to speak English and a little bit of French as well. I was living in Ottawa, and then we went back to Venezuela, and then my mother moved to the States, and I did my studies in sound engineering and music production in Venezuela. And at this point, I've never been back to London, to the UK. And I always had this thing in the back of my head, like, okay, I was born in London, I was born in the UK, but I never really went back, not even for holiday. And I always felt this void inside of me, like, I want to go back to the place of my birth. And here I am thinking about this, and obviously the problem is, okay, how am I going to get there, right? So in terms of paper, meaning like visas and all of this, there's no questions about it because I am a British citizen. So I have to just get my ass to London and check it out. But I'm arriving like a tourist, I don't know anybody there. So in order to do that, I had to quit my job in Venezuela. I was working in a recording studio. You have to picture this. I'm in my early 20s working in a recording studio in Venezuela, Caracas, Venezuela. And I'm in a band. I am living with my girlfriend. just living the dream, really. The bad part of all of this is that I was in a country where, economically it is not stable. This is in the late, right before the 2000, really, 1997. 1998, a long time ago, man. Obviously, I'm dating by saying this, because if I was in my early 20s, then you can do the math. And, I'm 48 as I am recording this podcast episode in 2023. So I was looking for ways to earn a living as a young man. I just, I found a job before I graduated from my sound engineering university. So I got this job in the recording studio. I'm playing in a band. So I'm living the dream. So my life, my work-life balance in my early 20s is a dream come true right there, right off the gate, okay? I was not a good student in high school or in school for that matter. Terrible. I mean, I barely made it, okay? And with all this traveling back and forth as a kid, I lost a year here and there because, I had troubles with languages. When I went back from Canada all the way back to Venezuela, I was very young. And because I was speaking in English and a little bit of French, my writing in Spanish, which is my mother tongue, suffered quite a lot. So it's just a mess. Plus, I'm dyslexic. I blame this dyslexia, for all the traveling and trying to learn different languages. Okay, because when I went from Venezuela to Canada to live as a kid, I was very young, 6, 7, something like that. And I didn't know any English. So one day I'm in Caracas in a school, right, primary or whatever. The next day I'm in Ottawa learning about whatever kids learn, right, at the same age. They just threw me into a classroom and I didn't know anything. I didn't know any English, let alone French. Anyways, I'm going a little bit too deep. I tend to go in tangents. But when I was in Venezuela in my early 20s, okay, so I don't lose my train of thought here and don't bore you to death, because there's a lot to unpack here when it comes down to work-life balance. So I'm in my early 20s. I'm working in a recording studio, living the life, living the dream. And somehow I feel that there is more for me. Now, my day-to-day at the time was very, very exciting. I will just, and I'm not being sarcastic, by the way. I'm being here, like, honest. Like, it was very exciting. I was living with my girlfriend at the time, in my early 20s, and I will get up. I will go to university. I will have certain classes, and then in the afternoon, I'll have my job, all right? And I will finish work. The studio will close around midnight, depending on what type of clients do we have. So the studio will be a recording studio, but as well, we'll have a different rooms for bands to rehearse, okay? So obviously, as a new guy, and I haven't even got my degree yet, they just gave me all the shit jobs like they usually do with whatever job you're going to just start as, really. So all the weird hours and stuff like that, I will have them. And I wasn't allowed to make music or record music or use the gear at the time because I didn't have my degree. So I was told. Of course, I broke that rule. I did music anyways. Because, you know, I already knew I know how to make music. I'm studying, you know, I don't need a degree or anything. But, you know, one of the managers was a little bit anal with me, even though he was a friend. Okay. But the owner of the studio, he hired me because of trust and because he knew that I was a good boy, okay? And when I say a good boy, like, okay, I'm somebody that is responsible, okay? I think that I can project that even from that early age in my early 20s. Like, they can tell that, you know, I come from a family, I guess, you know, or they seem to, like, I don't know, it's just my energy, okay? So that's something that I had in my favor. And they didn't hire me so much because of the qualifications, even though they knew, I mean, the boss knew that I was going to this university to study sound engineering. So obviously that helped. And one of my coworkers there, he went to the same university. In fact, his brother was teaching in that university. So I was kind of like in the group of people that were in that field. So, but they hired me because of the full package, somebody that, you know, that can be trusted, he's studying, he has a good energy around him. So all of this package made it very, they made it hire me. I mean, it was me and another two people that they were thinking about hiring in that job, in that studio. And they hired me, again, not because of my qualifications or my track record, because I had none at the time. It's just because of my energy and who I was at the time. So I get this job and, you know, I'm working there, I'm studying. Eventually I graduated from university and I can work now full time in the studio. And that was my job. I mean, my job was just to go to a recording studio. You know, I had the keys to the place. I would just, you know, answer the phone, you know, book some bands I wanted to rehearse and recording sessions. And I was just living the dream. And somehow at this time, I was at a crossroad in my life because I am in Venezuela in 1997, 1998, and the country is going to a lot of changes politically. This is when Chavez came into play and into the scene. And I don't want to get political here or anything because I'm not blaming the country or the political parties that they were in charge or whatever happened. It's not about that. It's just to give you a little bit of context of what was happening and why I'm so passionate today about the place where I live, okay? Because I lived in different situations, different realities in different countries, in very good conditions when it came down to employment. But at the same time, I always felt like I wanted to go to a different place, all right? Regardless of what's going on politically, by the way. But I'm just giving you, I'm just dropping certain information here so you can have a little bit of context. So at the time, I was thinking like, well, I already graduated from high school. I already graduated from university. I have a job. It's not paying a lot because of Venezuela. And the, you know, it's just I couldn't really afford much. But I'm living with my girlfriend. At this point, my mother is living in the States for a few years. So I'm alone in Venezuela. I mean, I have family still. But my mother, I moved away in my early 20s, meaning that I left the nest. So I'm not living with my brother and my sisters or my mother, you know, and my mom and my dad divorced when I was really young. So we lived with a stepdad for some time, but I'm not living in my home anymore. So I'm living in the same place, the same town where I grew up as a kid. But my mother moved to the States because of what was happening in Venezuela. She's, you know, it was a lot of hardship. I mean, we're a middle-class family, but she said, like, there's no way we're going to make it here as a family. So she decided to take my brother and my sister and move to Houston, Texas, where she's currently living. And I stayed behind because I had a life. I had a job. I had, you know, my girlfriend. I had a band. I had a life. So it was, I was in my early 20s and I was building a future there. At the time, though, I started to flirt with this idea that, hey, I need to go back to the UK. And when I say go back, it's because that's the place where I was born. And I said, I've never been back to London, so I would love to go. And I was getting my papers ready, meaning that I didn't have a British passport at the time or anything like that. So I had to get all that in place. This is all happening while I'm working and I'm living my life. Okay, I'm living a dream life, by the way. Like, wonderful job. Okay, I'm starting to smoke weed as well. So those are the years I started to smoke weed in the studio, just like, man, like full on rock and roll life in that sense. Okay, I don't do any hard drugs, never have, but you know, in my early 20s, that's when I discovered weed. And because of the work environment, you know, I was like, oh my God, you're telling me that I can work, smoke weed, and just get away with it? You know what I mean? And be in a studio making music, you know, helping other musicians get their, you know, their gear ready so they can rehearse. And you know, it's just, I'm living the dream, man. All right. And here I am trying to rock the boat because I know there's more for me. And at that time is where I say, like, you know what, I want to go back to London. And I want to see where I was born. I want to see the place where I was born. Okay. And this is obviously 22 years later or something like that. Okay, so because at that time I was 22 and I felt like I was born there and I want to go back now. And I have to put things in motion. So I went to the British Embassy, which was, funny enough, very close to the studio. It was literally like behind the building where I was in the studio. So it was in walking distance. So you can see how everything is aligned when you are really following your path, okay? And I go to the British Embassy and I say like, hey, I was born in London. My name is this. And, you know, I just got my papers in order. Pretty much it's like, okay, I had to apply for a new, I can't remember what it was. I think it was a new birth certificate or something that I had to request, like a current one or something like that. I don't remember if I found my old one. I think I did, but I had to like issue a new one. This is all in Venezuela, by the way, in the British Embassy. And then I requested a British passport. And within 5 days, I had a British passport in my hands. It was just fucking unreal. So I'm living in Caracas, Venezuela. I'm working in a recording studio. And I still remember this to this day. I'm going back to the studio with a British passport that has my picture, okay, in a passport that says, you know, European Union. Back in the day, they were part of the European Union, right? And it has, you know, and it obviously it says inside the passport, born in place of birth, London. And my picture in it. And I'm living in Caracas. And for all that matters, because when people ask me, where are you from? I say I'm from Venezuela because that's where I grew up. That's where my heritage is from. Okay. But I was born in London, in the UK. So it's a little bit of a weird one. But this is the first time I feel like, oh my God, I have my British passport. I have my, you know. So at that time, I had two passports. I have my British passport and I have my Venezuelan passport. So I have like two different, you know, two ID cards, if you will. And that was it, man. There was no way on earth that I was not going to leave. Okay, I had to leave. And I to cut this whole story short, as soon as I got my British passport, I said, I'm gone. I went back to the studio. I remember showing this passport to my friends, and they were just, I mean, it's like having, you know, like a ticket to some, you know, fantastic place, you know? They couldn't believe it either. I couldn't believe it. So I quit my job. They did a live and do and everything. It was very emotional for me because I literally had to say to my girlfriend, like, this is it. I'm gone, you know? And I quit my job in the studio. I had to find a replacement, which at the end of the day, I had to tell my best friend at the time to please, you know, just quit your day job. He was working in an office, some, you know, stupid job, I guess. I don't consider any job stupid, by the way, but it was something that it was not for him. And I said, like, man, we're playing in a band. You know, he was a part of the band. He was working with his aunt or something like that in an office, 9 to 5, like just, you know, sending fax or whatever. If you remember those days of fax. And he was like a mail boy kind of thing, like just delivering stuff, paperwork around Caracas. And I said, like, man, I'm moving. I'm leaving the country. I'm going to go to England. but I need somebody here to work in the studio. And if I can't find somebody, I can't just leave, you know, and they need someone of trust again. So I gave a job to my friend and he got, you know, he got a job. He was really excited. And I left. And obviously, I didn't go to the UK right away because I didn't have enough money. So from working in a recording studio, I went to Houston, Texas, where my mother was living, so I can arrive there. And I got a job immediately in McDonald's. So I am changing a dream job in a dream location, which is where I grew up. I have my friends, my peers. I'm part of a group. I have a life. I have a girlfriend. I have everything. I quit all of that in order to go to Houston to work in McDonald's. You know, I want you to think about that. I mean, the change is really dramatic. And throughout this whole process, I'm not losing my aim, my goal, which is to get to London. Right? People in Venezuela, I had a friend in Venezuela, musicians who have toured abroad, and they say, don't go to London. London is too big. You should go to a smaller town. You should go to Cambridge or something because London is way too big. London is going to eat you alive. And I said, no, I wasn't born in Cambridge. I wasn't born in a smaller town or anything. I was born in London. Okay. I'm going to London. So I was very determined, but I'm working at McDonald's and my life work balance then, right? My lifestyle was I'm living with my mother and I'm working in McDonald's and I smell like French fries. But hey, I did shine in that job. I made very good connections with my manager, my boss. I was a worker. I wasn't the best worker, but I was working in the drive-thru. I spoke English and Spanish, so I was helping between the manager and the people in the kitchen who were from Honduras, El Salvador, and from Central America in general. They don't know any English, you know, so they speak just Spanish. And I was helping with the communication. I was the translator between my boss and them. So any skills or anything that I had to my disposal, I will use them. And these life skills and the ability to just mutate or be so fluent, or so fluid, I should say, from one place to another and then say, okay, what are my skills here? I know nothing about McDonald's apart from eating McDonald's, right? I can eat a burger and French fries and drink a Coke, but I don't know how to serve these things. So, you know, I don't know what the code of conduct is inside this kind of places. I just arrived from Venezuela smoking a spliff and working in a recording studio and playing guitar and thinking that I'm a cool guy. And here I am in Houston, you know, wearing a uniform that says McDonald's and would you like that with fries? Right? Again, there's nothing wrong with that job. Actually, I have very good memories from those years because with that money I managed to save money from that in order for me to get to London. So, but my life changed completely because, again, I'm working at McDonald's, living in Houston, which is a completely different environment. I'm living with my mother. My brothers and my sisters are around. You know, at that point, I have kind of like left the nest in one way or another. And it was very hard to find this life balance. I'm craving for relationship. I've always been in a serious relationship with a woman, you know, and today I'm happily married. And I'm very committed in that sense. So for me, this aspect of my life has always been something that I was looking for. And with all the traveling, it was really hard for me because I wanted to settle down, even from an early age, in my early 20s. Okay, hey, I had fun, but I always had this goal, like I want to settle down, I want to have a wife, I want to have kids. So working at McDonald's was a transition for me, and I knew it. It was a very important lesson that I learned in terms of employment and how can I find peace within while I'm working in a fast food restaurant and listening to my friends on the phone saying like, hey, I'm here in the studio and, you know, hey, last night we went to see Metallica that came to town in Venezuela. Eh? And because when you're in the music industry, you have access to like VIP passes and all of this. You're just in... You know what I mean? It's just like, so I was listening to these stories back home that my friends were like in the studio. They went to Metallica last night because the opening act was a friend of ours and all of this. So these kind of things really hit home. I was like, oh my God, man, like this is really hard on me because I'm working at McDonald's. I'm serving, you know, burgers and fries and I'm in a foreign country And even though I'm living with my mom and my brothers and you know, and my sisters and you know, I know that it's hard. My life back then, I was looking for something, and I knew that it was a transition in those early years, in my early 20s. To cut the story short, that lifestyle lasted very, very short, but it seemed like an eternity. It was a couple of years like that, actually. You know, living that McDonald's life, and that's how I earned a living back then. While I was trying to as well play music, I was trying to just keep connected with my music as much as possible, doing it in my spare time. And, you know, I met a good friend of mine. He was working in Guitar Center, in a shop, and we played, and, you know, we play guitar. I kind of like form a band with him, and I'll do this in my spare time. He was much older than me. Well, not much older, but he was like 10 years older than me. He already had a family. He was already settled down and all of that. So he was like a mentor to me in terms of music. His name was Joe. He's a really good friend. He passed away actually quite recently. But he taught me a lot about music. I thought I knew a lot about music, but in the States, the level of musicianship is just so high, man. And when I met Joe, I realized how little I knew. Even though I was very good already, I just realized that the level in America in terms of musicianship and everything, you know, that just the bar is so high. And I really appreciate Joe for helping me see that and to be humble to say, like, I don't know it all, man. And I'm here to learn, not only about how can I move forward, but as well about music and life in general. And he had many kids. You know, I get a little bit emotional about it because it was an important transition for me in my life. And the fact that he passed away quite recently just broke my heart because he was very, very young still, you know. So anyways, after saving some money in the States with that McDonald's job, I will get my paycheck, okay? And obviously I was living with my mother, so I will go to a house of, how do you call these things in America, where you exchange money. In Venezuela, it's called Casa de Cambio. Casa de Cambio is a place where you just go and exchange money for, you know, international currency and whatnot. So I will get my paycheck from McDonald's. I will get my paycheck from McDonald's, and I will get half of it or more and go to an exchange thing to just buy British pounds, all right? And I will just do that, and I will save those British pounds so I can get to London. And the rest of the paycheck, I will just use it to just, you know, live by, you know, like try to like whatever. So I did that for some time, and then I tried to find a way to get my ass to London. And when I got to England and I managed to save enough money, enough money to live for like a week because London is really expensive. I managed to get a house, a room that it will cost me 75 British pounds a week. That's back in 2001, year 2000 is when I arrived in London. And I had to very quickly, I'm going to go very quick here, okay, when it comes down to all of this, because there's a lot of things that happen in between, but I'm just gonna give you the highlights. So I arrived in London and I had enough money for like a week or two, all right? So my first attempt was like arrive and I went and I failed. So I had to go back because I couldn't make it. So I went back to Houston, kept on working at McDonald's, and then I saved some more money and went back again, okay, a few months later to London. Stayed in the same place. Like my room for 75 British pounds, and I was sharing, you know, kitchen and household. I was living with a British family, by the way, that they helped me quite a lot. Without them, I wouldn't be in London, actually. And I'll talk more about them in a future episode, and I think I have mentioned this anyways on previous episode because it was a really important aspect of me not only being in London but being where I'm at today as well, because people will help you along the way if you follow your path, my friend. This is what I want to say, all right? So I go back the second time, and this time I'm determined. But the first week goes by, and I haven't gotten a job. And I'm like, holy shit. So I'm in London now, man, and I can't find work. But now I have these credentials that I've worked in a fast food restaurant in McDonald's. So one of my flatmates said, like, hey, you should go to Starbucks because they're looking for people there. And I'm like, oh my God, whatever, you know. At this point, I have already given up. I'm saying, like, I'm going back to Venezuela. I'm not even going back to London, to Houston. In my head, I'm calling back home already. I'm calling to my friends in Venezuela in the studio. And I said, I can't make this happen. I hate this. I'm going back to the studio. I'd rather be happy. It was a really turning point back then. I was desperate, man. I was so desperate. In my head, I have already given up. And mind you, this is the second time, okay? But things are moving forward in Venezuela. Like, they're still at the studio. They're having fun. They're working, you know, bands, rock, you know. It's just crazy. And here I am, like, saying, like, I want to be there with you guys. But nevertheless, as soon as my flatmate said, like, you should go to Starbucks or you should go and check it out because, you know, they're looking for people, I showed up the next day and I said, like, what the hell? I'm just going to give it a go, see what happens, right? And I show up, like, confident, but, like, I didn't care really. Like, there was a level of detachment. And I show up to this Starbucks in central London in Kingsway, all right? Kingsway. I think it was a 99 Kingsway. That shop doesn't exist anymore. I just came back from London a few months ago with my family, and I went down memory lane to show my daughter where I was working and, you know, where I met, you know, their mom because I met my wife in working in Starbucks. Okay, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So I arrive in Starbucks and I said, like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm here to you know, I hear that you're looking for people, and, you know, I have experience in McDonald's, so I know how to deal with customers and all of this. And that's it, man. They gave me a job. And, you know, obviously the next question is like, okay, do you need a visa to work here? I'm like, I'm a British citizen, even though I don't sound British. And so I had all my paper, all my credentials, like, okay, let's just hire this guy. And there I was, man. I'm working in central London, serving coffees in Starbucks. I had no idea what I'm doing, but my energy was right. They trained me. I went through the whole process. I got the, you know, on a payroll, and that was my work-life balance was that. Okay, I will go all the way from Walthamstow. For those of you who live in London, Walthamstow is like zone 3, at the end of zone 2 or zone 3 anyways. But yes, far away, and I will have to go all the way to Holborn, which is central London, which is quite a big ride on the tube. And that was my life. And I would just be working. But I was happy because I'm living in London. I have a day job and I'm meeting people from all over the world. That they're working in Starbucks and they're doing so many other things. They're studying. They're from different countries that, you know, I've never met somebody from Finland before. I never met anybody from Sweden. But this is all happening here in over there in London while I was living there. And then eventually I met my wife. You know, she was working in a shop in a Starbucks. When you work in this type of franchise, they move you a lot. So there was this new Starbucks that was going to be opening in front of the British Museum. And my manager said, like, you're going to come with me, Daniel. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. I'm just going with the flow of life. And that was my life. So my life-work balance was just, I want to meet people. And I want to earn a living. And I'm in London. So for me, I have already made it. In a way, because I'm still listening to all these fun stories back home in Venezuela about my friends being in the studio playing in bands. They're doing gigs. Now they got a record deal. Okay? The band that I was playing, now they have a record deal. And I'm working in Starbucks. And I got this feeling that I'm missing out. I got this feeling that I made the wrong choice. Okay? And I'm like, oh shit, I think I fucked it up. Actually, I should be in Venezuela. I should be the one having that record deal in Venezuela, okay? That's back in the days when bands used to get record deals and all of this. But I felt like I was missing out. I felt like I'd done a terrible mistake. But anyways, my life back then was just going to Starbucks, serving coffees, and going back home, you know, and play the guitar. As soon as I got a little bit of money with my job and working as a Starbucks barista, right? I was happy, man. It was a dream for me. I met my girlfriend at the time, and, you know, I quit that job very quickly because I knew that I could do something else. I got quite emotional in that job, though. I said, like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I was at that time living with my girlfriend, who's now my wife. And that's where I found a job in the guitar shop. This is when everything changed. And my life changed completely because now I'm in central London working in a guitar shop. In Tin Pan Alley, Denmark Street, which is the mecca of guitar shops or it was, you know, I mean, now it looks a little bit different, but it will always be, you know. And I got this job in this guitar shop, and that was it, man. My work-life balance changed completely. Now I'm living with my girlfriend. I'm happy. The consistent theme throughout all of this, my friend, that I want you to take is the mindset where I was at the time, all right? Even though I didn't like this type of jobs, my life-work balance was non-existent because my work determined my lifestyle. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, all right? It becomes a bad thing when you're conscious about it. It becomes a bad thing when you know you want to do something else, but you can't escape, or so you think that you can't escape your work or your boss or the current situation. Obviously, back then, I don't have responsibilities like kids. I didn't have many, many responsibilities that I have right now. But you're going to see where I'm getting at with this episode. So I'm working in the guitar shop. I'm living with my girlfriend. I'm settling down slowly. And here I am living the dream. Again, I'm in London. I'm working in a guitar shop. I managed to get in. It's a family-owned business. It's very similar to the conditions that I had back in Venezuela when I was working in the studio. Family-owned business. They trust me. They can see my energy. And they're like the same question. Like, this guy knows a lot about music. You know, his energy is right, you know. And I was working there, man, for many years, actually. That was my job in London until I left. That was my last paying job, by the way, up until 2010, the end of 2010. And then I moved here to Greece. That was the last time I was on a payroll. Okay. So after that, I went through a process of unemployment. After the birth of my first daughter, Fedra, she was born in London. It's funny how history repeats itself. And as soon as she was born, we left the UK. This is after the 2008 crisis, if you will, economical crisis. And, you know, I lived all of that in the UK, in London. And 2009, 2010, we left and we came here to Greece, which was, at the peak of the Greek crisis and then there were all these talks about Grexit and all of this. But anyways, I found myself here in Greece, and we moved here because of lifestyle. After having a kid for the first time, you know, becoming parents with my wife, after we got married, you know, we got married here in Greece, but we were still living in the UK, and my wife had a great job, and our life was good, man, in the UK. But we knew we had to change because we now have a family. And I convinced, this was an idea that I had, because my wife left Greece. My wife is Greek, by the way, which is an important aspect of this story. And she moved from Greece to London when she was very, very young, okay? And she's been living away for many, many years. So, you know, I know her since she was in her 20s, you know, 22, 23, I think it was. And we've been together all these years, but, you know, I was convincing her and said, like, listen, we're married now. We had a life here in London. And yes, we can go somewhere else here in England. But I think the fact that you're Greek and the fact that, you know, we can move to Greece and start over now with a young kid, with a new baby, you know, let's change scenery, man. You know, at the time, I've been to Greece a couple of times on holiday and for my honeymoon with my wife and all of this. And I said, I just love this place. I just, you know what I mean? I want to be an old guy going to the beach, like the way I see these people that live in small villages when I will come here for holidays, you know, to the Greek islands. I will come here and I will see these old people just going for the swim in the morning in the sea. And I was like, I want to be that. That's my life goal. That's my aim in life. But I need to do something right now. So that's the lifestyle that I wanted to achieve, really. So she didn't want to come to Greece. She didn't want to come back to Greece at all. And, you know, we had a hard time, man. When we left the UK after living many years, that was a life. We had a work-life balance. It was just me and her. And here we are now with a baby going back to the place where she was born with, living with her parents now. I'm living with my in-laws for a few months to get my shit together and to move into a place with my new baby. I'm in a foreign country, even though I love it. At the time, one thing is to come to Greece for holiday, another thing is to come here and live, especially when you have no idea how life the lifestyle here is, which is a good lifestyle, but I didn't have work sorted out. Okay, so my work-life balance at the time was non-existent. I didn't have any job. The job that I was meant to be doing was working for a cafenio. A cafenio is the coffee shop where men go and hang out here in Greece. And my mother and my father-in-law own one of those for many, many years. And the plan was like, if Daniel wants to move here with our daughter and our newborn grandson, granddaughter, then we have a perfect deal. We can offer Daniel this coffee shop where he can work because, you know, he's a foreigner. He doesn't speak very well Greek, but we need to get him into the system. So he needs to work. I said, the deal is done. That's it. So I arrive in Greece and I start working in this coffee shop. And we invested all the money that we have saved in the UK. We tried to transform the shop. To cut the story short, man, it was the worst years of my life in terms of employment. Here I am working in a foreign country. I have a new baby. I'm working in a coffee shop with my in-laws. I'm taking over the coffee shop that they're handing me, you know, to me. This is very common here in Greece, by the way, to have a family-owned business and then they give it to either the son-in-law or to the daughters or to whoever. You know, a lot of people have family-owned businesses here. So this is nothing weird. It's all part of the script when it comes down to the lifestyle here in Greece. So it's nothing strange. But it was a bad deal for me because it was not something that I really wanted to do. And it's something that there was a lot of emotions in it. There was a lot of conflicting interest. And it just didn't work out. Okay? And I blame myself completely for that. But that was the worst job I have ever had in my life. Full stop. My marriage almost collapsed because of it. So it didn't work out. I mean, we lost a lot of money. The coffee shop, you know, didn't close down, but almost. And my mother and my father-in-law had to take over again that coffee shop. So that was a sad, sad story. And my lifestyle, my life-work balance at the time was horrible. My life-work balance at the time was to wake up at 6 in the morning, go and open this coffee shop. I will serve a drink of alcohol to a customer who was an alcoholic, obviously, with a cup of coffee. And this is, I'm not joking. This is like 6:30 in the morning and I'm serving alcohol to this guy that is drinking alcohol at that time with a cup of coffee, smoking cigarettes and, you know. I mean, it's a small community where I was doing this. So a lot of people, I mean, I'm just giving you like a little bit of a, I'm trying to paint a picture here, okay? It's normal for people to just show up in a coffee shop and have coffee and a million cigarettes and a little bit of raki or chipuro or, you know. I mean, if you're from the Balkans countries, you probably understand this. Obviously, not everybody drinks in the morning, especially that early. But it was one of those places. Cafenios are cafenios. And cafenio, like I said, here in Greece, is just a coffee shop where men, you know, they just play cards and smoke cigarettes and drink and, you know, watch football and talk about politics. So it's not really a place where women hang out. So I will do this early in the mornings and then I will, you know, finish work in the afternoon. And then in the afternoon, my wife will come to the shop and I will go home. And my mother-in-law was taking care of my daughter at the time. So the life, work-life balance did not work at all. We will have to close that shop very late at night. Me and my wife, we almost broke up at the time. We were very unhappy. This didn't work out at all. We weren't making any money either because the customers got scared away. You know, these are old customers. These are old people that are used to be served the same thing every single day by the same people. You cannot change that. You cannot change the system. But this is for another episode, because when you're in a small community and you're trying to serve something new, you're trying to educate the customer, it's not like a lot of people are coming by. Like, we don't have traffic of people walking by. It's not central London, okay? These are the same people every single day that show up at the same time And you can actually predict how much money you're going to make from the same people. But you're not getting new customers or anything like that. But again, this is for another episode. But my life-work balance was like that. And I suffered quite a lot, man. From there, I became unemployed immediately. And I didn't qualify, not even for unemployment pay, because I didn't work long enough. We hired an accountant who didn't do the paperwork either very good. So I found myself in Greece unemployed. And that's how I became a stay-at-home dad. And that's where I had no life-work balance whatsoever. So after all of my work in history and all of my experiences in life, here I am in Greece, in a foreign country, where I thought I wanted to live. And I'm in a horrible situation. My relationship with my mother-in-law and my father-in-law is terrible. Okay? Today, they're like my mother and my father. We love each other very much. We're family. But at the time, it seemed so hard. I mean, the first year, I said to them, I'm going back to England. I'm going back with my wife and my kid back to England. I don't know how we're going to do this, but it was a lie. I couldn't go back because I had no money at this point. So we were stuck here in Greece. And my marriage with my wife was just in a bad situation. I didn't have a life. I didn't have a work-life balance. And that's how I became a stay-at-home dad, like I'm saying to you. And that's how I became this person who started to look for ways to work for myself. I said, I need to take something here from this lesson. And it's not over. I'm not quitting. Okay? This is not a good job for me. It was not a good plan. But I'm going to get out of this. So my wife went and quit that coffee shop as well, job, because this was our main source of income. Me and my wife, we were earning all our income from that to support ourselves. And when that didn't work out, when I left, my wife said, I can't be here by myself working with my mother and my father in this coffee shop. You know, now it's not just two people eating from this or depending on this. It's like two families. It's my mother and my father-in-law and me and my wife. So it's like, I need to go and get a job. And I became the weakest link. I stayed at home because I don't speak very well Greek. And at the end of the day, my wife, as a Greek, as a native Greek, she had more chances of finding work. And she did. She found work immediately. That's how I became a stay-at-home dad. And then my life changed completely for the better, even though it was a dark time as well. It was not over yet. For me, there was a lot of suffering. So I became a stay-at-home dad, taking care of my first daughter, Fedra, who is now 13. She's going to turn 13 in a couple of weeks. And I went through a midlife crisis at the time. I was unemployed for the first time in my life. I didn't earn any money, nothing. And here I am, a father, for the first time, and I cannot provide anything. I'm living from whatever handouts my mother-in-law is giving us. She's cooking the food for us. She's bringing the food to my door so we can eat. She, like, you know, the paycheck that my wife had is just enough to pay the rent and a few bills, but we can't buy food. We can't go to the supermarket. We don't have a car, you know. I'm completely flat broke. I don't know what to do. I need to take care of my baby. She was like, my daughter at the time was like two, very young, 2.5, you know, at the most. Probably younger, man. I mean, it was dark years. And that's where I got into this mindset that I need to do something. And I went through my midlife crisis. I didn't know what was going to happen, but all I knew is that I need to get out of here. This funk, this mindset that I found myself. And that's where I got into personal development. And I said, what can I do in order to provide for my family? But most importantly, how can I save myself from this misery that I'm going through? And I said, like, okay, what are my skills? So my skills are music, okay, and then I need to do something with it. How can I earn money with my music? And this is how the whole music licensing thing started. If you're following me from that brand of Stock Music Licensing, that's how it all started. And if you're new to the podcast and you don't know my story, I started by selling my music online in different marketplaces, meaning that I compose music for commercials, YouTube channels, podcasts like this ones. You know, I mean, I use my own music now on my podcast and all my content, but I compose music for that for profit. So it's just music for background, for film, documentaries, and stuff like that. So that's how I got started doing that. And from there, slowly, I became someone who was relying on myself. So the whole work-life balance to me was now taking a different form and shape. And I understood that work-life balance is something that at times especially in the entrepreneurial world. I know that this is something that is being used quite a lot, like don't work on your business, work in your business or whatever bull crap they're trying to sell you, or work 30 minutes a day because you want to do the things that you really, really love. It's all nonsense, man. You know, I mean, I truly believe that work, and even if you have a 9-to-5 right now, if you change your mindset and you become the best version of yourself right now by implementing certain philosophies in terms of where you're at, how can you change where you're at first? But first, you need to change you. You need to change who you are, okay, in order to move to a better place. When I was going through this horrible situation with a coffee shop, it wasn't work. It was life, because I'm working with my wife in that coffee shop. I'm working with my in-laws. Everybody's involved. So I don't even have the luxury to say I am going to work for some asshole boss in some company where I can completely detach myself when I go back home. You know, I didn't even have that luxury. It's all mixed up. Everything is mixed up. It's family, it's business, it's, you know, midlife crisis. It's just crazy stuff, man. So there's no separation. But if you have a 9-to-5, you have a boss, you have colleagues, and you can detach that from your work a little bit, even when you just go home or even on the weekends, you know, you have a time to reset. Okay? And that life balance that you're looking for, it already exists. You just have to find it within you on how to get out of that mental funk first before you move forward. And the way to do that is by using all of your energy and all of your will, the willpower that you have, in order to achieve what you want to achieve on the side with the free time that you have. But you have to be consumed by it though, you know, and you must be willing to take chances and risk. Hopefully from all these things that I've been telling you in this podcast episode, you can see that I have taken a lot of risk. I have taken a lot of chances throughout my life. And even as I am doing this podcast episode, as I am working for myself after all these years, a lot of things have happened. You know, not only I make the music, which is still part of my business, but I have created an academy where I teach other composers and musicians on how to do this. This is where I actually built a multiple six-figure business now, teaching what I know, okay? And because of that transition of like being unemployment and say, I want to do something with the music, and then I put myself out there creating content on YouTube, and that's how I started to teach others on how to do that. So my life-work balance became my life, and my work is my life, and I have no problem in working. In fact, I'm not looking to retire. I'll say that again. I'm not looking to retire. I'm going to be working until the day I die. And I don't say this to sound melodramatic or like I'm a workaholic or I believe in the hustle culture. I'm just saying that I do work that is important for me, okay? So I'm still going to be making music in one way, shape, or form when I'm in my 80s, if I'm still able to, you know, do that. I want to write books, you know. I want to set myself goals that are big for me, but stuff that I can do while I'm in that age group, right? I want to be able to create content. I want to be able to educate. I want to be able to help others. I want to be able to leave something behind that is important. I want to do important work for me. If I can share my story right now and I'm 48, I can only imagine what type of stories I'm going to be sharing when I'm in my 80s. I'm not looking to retire to be in a cafenio. Nothing against cafenios, by the way, or coffee shops like the ones I was mentioning. But, you know, I met plenty of people in my age group right now, they're 48, and they're right now sitting in a coffee shop doing nothing, okay? That's not the lifestyle I want. As much as I love the Mediterranean lifestyle of lay back and chill out, you know, I want to work, man, okay? And I love Greece. I love the culture, okay? And here in Greece, people do work very, very hard, okay? But like in any place, there's a lot of people that actually are not working. And if you live in America, by the way, you have a different image of what life-work balance means. Here in the Mediterranean countries, work-life balance means, yes, they work really hard because here people have a lot of family-owned businesses, man. And they work endless hours. And that's their life. Okay? Like my mother and my father-in-law, they had that coffee shop. That was their life. They didn't do anything else. That was their life. And everything went around that. And that's how they managed to support the family. All right? I know many people here in Nafplio, where I live, that they have shops. and they work from 10 in the morning to 12 at night, man. There's a lot of things that they were happening here in the Greek crisis. They were saying that the Greeks are very lazy. They're not, man. They're not lazy. They work their asses off. In America, the culture of work is different than it's over here, though. All right? And here, yes, people take longer holidays. Here in Europe, it's different. Here in the Mediterranean countries, it's different. We have siestas, for example. Okay? So we like to sleep I don't sleep in middays. But because it gets so hot and because it's part of the culture, after lunch, people just go to have a nap. And in fact, shops close. I mean, this is unheard of. This is unbelievable for you if you live in America and you're listening to this. Or even if you live in the UK, to you, my UK listeners, my friends, you know, it's inconceivable that you will go home, have lunch, and go and pass out, and then go back to open the shop at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just inconceivable. And that's the lifestyle over here. You know, so if you had a shop here, you will open the shop at 9:30 in the morning. You will work up until 2 o'clock or 2:30, go home, eat your lunch, pass out for 2 hours, and then go back and open the shop at 5 o'clock, 5:30. And in fact, there is a law here that you cannot make noise, all right, between the hours of 2 and 5 o'clock. And this changes a little bit in the winter because of the time difference, okay? But there is a law. If you play like heavy rock music from home at that time, at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon from your home, somebody next door can literally call the police, and that police will come to your home and say, break it down, because it is a law that you cannot make noises because people are resting. People are trying to sleep after lunch hour. Now, that's lifestyle, right? That doesn't mean that they don't work. It just means that the shop doesn't close at 7, though. The shop's open at 5 again. So they're doing business between 5, 5:30, all the way up until midnight, especially in the summer, because this is the lifestyle here in Greece. So that goes to show you that the lifestyle, when it comes down to work-life balance, means many things to many people. For you, if you live in America, you know, you want to listen to what others are saying, okay? Which is, yeah, work less. I have many mentors of mine, okay? And I love them to death. And some of them, they just have this agenda, like, hey, work less. I work only half an hour a week in my business and I make $1 million. That's not a good message to you, man, because work requires a lot of work and you need to earn it. And here I am doing this podcast, and this is part of my work, and I have so many things going on. But I love it, man, okay? So don't buy into all of these sayings of like the future of work is play. It requires work, man, to do anything in life. It's like working out. If you want to be in shape, it's going to require work. You cannot buy that. You can only earn it. I'm here to tell you that everything that I have today is because I have worked very hard. But I love what I do. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with work. I love to work. That doesn't make me a workaholic. Okay, but I'm available for my kids. Life is going to happen eventually. Okay, so I'm not going to be able to work all the time. But the only reason why I work is because work gives my life purpose. I want to be of service. I want to contribute to society. I want to say, hey, I am paying my taxes with this. Okay, there's nothing that brings me more joy when somebody says, what do you do for work? And I say, it's a long story because I do many things. I do music, I do YouTube videos, I do podcasting, I do coaching, I do online courses, I do this. Hey, I just wrote a book. You want to hear more? Okay, because I'm only getting started. Let me show you my plans now. And what are you doing right now? I'm recording a podcast episode. What are you going to do later? I'm going to the gym. Is that part of your work? Yeah, it's part of my life. I am my work. I'm not saying that whatever reality you're living right now is not better than mine, but my life is fucking amazing. And I only make it amazing because I believe in myself. I believe in the contribution that I want to give to the world, to society. Because I've been living on the sidelines for such a long time, just taking a paycheck. And there's nothing wrong with a paycheck. I wish I'd had this philosophy when I was an employee. Okay, if I had this philosophy about work and how work-life balance was, I would have been invested in myself way back when I was in Venezuela. Before I left to the UK, before I had all these odd jobs, I would be like, you know what? I want to see what I can do here at McDonald's. I will have climbed a ladder. I will probably open a franchise. I will probably do many things. Okay? But I didn't have that mindset. I just wanted to show up, get me my paycheck, let me go home, and let me forget about this shit job. That was my mindset. The same was even in the guitar shop. I have had that mindset, by the way, my friend, throughout every single job that I had in my life, even when they were considered dream jobs. So that was a shit mindset. I would just show up and say, give me my paycheck, I want to go. I love the guitar shop job, I love the studio job, but I just want to go at some point. I don't want to be the owner of this place. I could have been the owner of the studio in Venezuela, of the recording studio, but I didn't want to. Why? Because I don't want to take responsibilities. I was the bottom line. Now that I work for myself, I'm responsible for absolutely everything. And I have to make an income. Okay? And if I'm not having a good month, I need to have a good month. And if my mindset is not where it needs to be, I need to make sure that I take responsibilities. And to make things even more interesting, I work from home. So now my family, life, work balance is all mixed up. But I wouldn't have it any other way. And I love it. Okay, so when I hear all of these entrepreneurs and all of these mentors saying, don't work on your business, work on side of your business, work for 5 minutes a day and you can be a billionaire, work less and give more, or do this and do that, to do the things that really matters to you. The things that matter to me, man, is my fucking work. And for me, going even for my walk in the morning, that's my work. Okay, I am my work. What I do, even what I'm doing right now, this is my work. I don't want to outsource this. I don't want to outsource my work. You know what I mean? I believe in automation. I believe in systems and all of this, but I don't want to work less to do more of the things I love. I love my work. Why the hell did you build an online business if you don't like your work? So you want to do the things that you want to do best. So what do you want to do? Play video games? You want to go and watch Star Wars? You want to go and play Pokemon cards? You know what I mean? And build a business around that shit. All right? My business, my hobbies became my work. And yes, there are things that I don't want to do sometimes. But that's what it's called work. Because you're supposed to have a level of responsibility and commitment to yourself. Okay? So yeah, for the young people, even for my daughter, I say, go and get a job somewhere. Experience what it is to be in an environment that you might not like. That's the best teacher, man. Go and do something you don't like. Go and do this and figure out how can you do it better. Try to think outside of the box. Then eventually you're going to say hey, yeah, I probably need somebody to tell me what to do. You probably need a boss, okay? I needed a boss for many, many years to tell me what to do, to tell me, Daniel, show up at this time. No, Daniel, you cannot go on holiday that day. No, Daniel, you can only have your lunch break for this amount of time, right? I needed that for many, many years because I was just not willing to take responsibilities for myself. And my boss has bigger things at stake than me because he has to pay my paycheck, no matter what, all right? I just need to show up and I have rights as a worker, as an employee, right? Hey, I even joined a union, tried to fight certain things. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that these things are not in place to help the employees. I'm not saying that there's no things going on in work environments. I'm just saying that from the mindset and the philosophy point of view, okay? Because I was using all of these things as excuses in order for me to take action into what's really important for me, to be accountable for myself. That's why I'm very passionate about what I do right now. And that's why I'm very passionate of where I live. Because the only reason why I live where I live right now is because I work for myself. Because I can work location free. I use the internet to work for myself. I can pack my bags right now and go to London if I wanted to and still do the same job. All right? Do I want to do that? No, man. Do I want to go back to Venezuela? I don't think so. I like here where I live. It's a small community. I work online. I make money like this. I work with my wife now. Okay? My kids don't know what it's like to me be working somewhere else, okay? Could I find a job right now, a day job, a 9-to-5, and do it better than anybody else? You damn believe so, man, because now my philosophy is different. I can go out there into the real world, get a job anywhere, in the corner shop, selling fucking bread, and I will rock that place, okay? I will go beyond the call of duty, not because I'm cocky, but because now I understand the importance of work. There's nothing wrong with work. I hope this podcast episode finds you well, my friend. I think I'm going to be doing another episode about this. I might do a second part Let me know if you find something interesting in this topic of work and the philosophy of work and life-work balance and how we can apply this to your situation. Thank you so much for all the love and support, my friend. I hope you're doing great, and I'll see you on another episode.